Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that on a book.
Put that on a golden book.
Golden book.
Yeah, I guess. Golden book.
You know them golden books. Actually, did you read golden books as a kid?
I had a lot of them. I imagine that I probably did read them. Mm-hmm. I don't remember reading them. I don't remember anything about them. I think there were some Sesame Street ones, weren't there?
Yeah, there had to have been. You repressed all that, though.
Obviously.
Grover was just so terrifying.
Was that a golden book where he was like, hey, dude, there's a monster at the end of this book.
I think it was.
Oh, that was one of my favorites. That I do remember great. That book. Yeah, oh, that was awesome. Such a clever meta book.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Wasn't there something where if you put the golden books in a certain order, like their spines formed a crazy fucking picture?
Maybe.
I don't know if that's true or not. Hmm. It looked like that might be the case, but I don't even know if those things are numbered.
No, I wouldn't think so.
There are just five men working in a basement, trying all the configurations of the golden books, trying to crack the fucking code.
They've been doing this since 1992.
And their sons will do it, and their sons' sons will do it.
Yes. My father was a golden book conspiracist, and his father was a golden book conspiracist. This is the speech that he would make.
We prefer the term elders. Thank you.
Golden book elders?
Yes, elders of the golden books.
Oh, God.
Man, maybe I know what I should make my choose-your-own-adventure game about now.
That's it. It's about golden books and the secrets they hide. You have to make the protagonist Nicolas Cage, though.
Oh, my God.
There it is. That's his next movie.
Jesus. Hello, and welcome to First Person Podcast Simulator. But let's blow the dust off of this.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Yeah. There it is.
That was the dust.
It was in a tomb. See, we spent the last, like, month just on a very interesting, rigorous quest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To find it, and we got it back.
Yes,
we now have it.
We're in possession of the tomb.
Yep. The whole tomb. Shit. Yeah.
We're actually broadcasting from within the tomb.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There's
just really separate remote areas of the tomb.
It's spelunky as hell in here, so you can imagine that why it would take 40 plus hours for us to. Not even beat the game yet.
Right.
That was quite the segue. I've put over 40 hours into Spelunky, and I haven't even beat the thing, like, on the easy yet.
Jeez.
Or, well, whatever the easy ending is. I know. I think I might just suck at it or something.
I've only put 13 hours in.
Hmm.
40 hours? Jesus.
Yeah, I really like Spelunky.
I would hope that's why you put the 40 hours in, not because you have some kind of problem.
Right, no, I obviously not. but yeah,
a lot of stuff in my throat today.
Yes, that's one that I want to go back to soon because I feel like I feel the time to shine is nigh, in terms of beating that game because that's really all I want to do. Even I can't do a hell run, which I imagine has to.
Oh God, yeah,
the worst. I would just be satisfied with beating that game and then not really picking it up for a while. Or just doing dailies. I really like doing dailies.
Yeah,
on that.
Keeping up with the dailies is a good way to stay sharp.
Absolutely.
Or keep up with how terrible you are, either way.
Yes.
As has been from me.
All right, well, let's see. I got the end of that. Oh, I'm ranked 16,000th. All right.
Great.
Stellar.
Well,
let's do it again
I died
tomorrow.
At 1-1, so good time.
I just kept falling. yeah, actually, I haven't been touching that one recently. What have you been up to, man? What's been going on? We haven't really talked in the last month.
I know. Yeah. When was the last time I saw you?
Jesus.
Was it David's?
Yeah, it was.
Which was last month?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
I think technically it had to have been.
Yeah.
It definitely wasn't this month.
Okay. We're already, like, halfway through this month, aren't we?
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Wow. February, man.
Right. I met up with... Sorry to segue, but I met up with some friends last night, like I was telling you earlier, for a 21st birthday drinking bar walk thingy. And they brought to my attention, like, yeah, we haven't seen each other in, like, a year. I'm like, whoa, what?
Whoa.
That's... holy shit, you're right. And it didn't even feel like that. Getting older is strange. Time seems to go by so much quicker.
Yeah, definitely. Life, man.
Absolutely. But anyways, what have you been doing to keep busy?
But otherwise, what video games have you been playing?
It's about them games.
Oh, jeez. Well, school things are pretty much the same for me.
Mm.
Just still trying to make them videos.
Any cool updates on any projects and stuff?
I feel like there was, but maybe not.
Just leave that information at the school.
Yeah, totally.
Well, if you remember any, feel free to bring them up, because I'm interested in your work, son.
Oh, man, you and your stuff. That's why I have so many friends.
I like your stuff, too. Who are you? Sorry.
Sorry, I just like your stuff.
So much.
My voice went really high there. I'm trying to be weekly on vlogging again, too, but...
Oh, good.
That's gotten away from me already.
I've had so much stuff that's just been getting away from me. Especially with what has... Well, the recent schedule change.
Yeah.
More time-consuming than I thought it would be. In a good way, though.
Alright. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I can mention it. So I was, to sum it up, I was an acoustics major, but then I started looking at my life really hard, and then I'm like, wait, no, I would like to do games, and then I looked at how much longer I'd have to stay in school for it, and it was only 2 years. So, yeah, I am a programming major now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. It seems like it makes more sense for you.
Yeah, that's sort of that's what the general consensus has kind of been. Like, I tell people, and they're like, whoa, wait, what? You literally had to do one semester to graduate and you would have been done? I'm like, yeah, but, you know, I will definitely love this much more than what I would have been doing. And the thing is, I just realized this, a majority of people, not just in any demographic, in the world, like, even in developed countries, do not know what my previous job would have been.
Uh-huh.
Like, when you say, like, it's like, oh, yeah, I study acoustics, I'm an acoustician. No one knows what that is. And the job market is so super narrow on that. I realize now that, like, you know, graduating with a Bachelor of Science in Programming, I can go, like, anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, the availability for jobs is so much higher than what I was doing previously.
Totally. People who know how to code, they go places.
Yeah, absolutely. And I aspire to be one of those people.
Very cool.
It's this weird sensation, because it's almost like hitting, like, a soft reset button on college, because I have 2 more years there. So I kind of know what I need to focus on and, like, what I need to do in terms of, like, you know, socializing with the right people and, like, communicating with teachers and stuff. So it's kind of a relief that I don't have to look for a job immediately, but it's also really bizarre because I will be, she's 23 when I graduate. But anyways... Yeah, that's a big major development in my life. So now I get to look at video games in a completely different way.
Awesome.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
So, what you been playing, man?
Most recently I've been playing some Civ 5. Because there was the whole Humble Sid Meier bundle. They did that thing. And they included the two, like, biggest expansions to Civ 5, Gods and Kings and Brave New World.
Now, what do those include? I'm curious.
There's, like, well, Gods and Kings includes religion, so it adds that whole thing to the mix. And I think they both bring in a bunch of new civs, and trade routes are a big thing, which is important for Venice, which is one of the new cities, because you can only have one city if you're Venice, but there's a whole... It adds a lot of new mechanics, and it's really cool, and it's, I don't know, I think it really improves the game a lot, especially Brave New World. I was looking to get those eventually, but they were, like, $30 a piece on Steam, I think.
Oh, woof.
Either 15 or 30, and, like, that's ridiculous. So then the Humble Bundle comes out, and it's like, hey, if you pay more than $15, you'll get Brave New World and then everything else. And I was like, yeah, that's less than half for everything. So
That's pretty rad. Yeah, no, I put $10 towards that. Initially, I was a little bit like adverse to, because I don't like this idea that's like, oh, new Humble Bundle is out. It's like, oh, there's one game I would like to get, and I could pay like, you know, what, $5 to get that plus four other games I know literally nothing about and might be shit. And I kind of see, I don't like excess. And like when you consider the alternative, is like, oh, I'll just like pay that same amount, but buying only that one game so that the developer gets it. That's usually how I go. But then I sort of realized the other day, I like do not have any strategy games like right now. And I haven't played strategy games in like years. And with my new like switch over to my programming major and stuff, I need to like kind of broaden my horizons, I guess, I realize. Like the more systems I understand and the more things I'm exposed to, the better. So I did end up purchasing that. The only thing I focused on was that I got Civ 5. I know there were a bunch of other things included in that.
Yeah, there was all of Civ 3 and like some of Civ 4 and then like Pirates and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want to check out, but
Sid Meier's Pirates, right.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that's a really, I remember that game. I remember back in the, I'm pretty sure I do. It's like a, I think it's mostly a strategy game. I'm not sure. But I do remember that that was released around the same time that G4 TV was still, you know, existing and doing cool things. And that was, it was a topic of discussion for a while. Amongst the shows there. Not that it was, like, amazing or anything. It just, it happened to be on those shows.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I'll check that out, too. Really excited to start learning that, actually.
Cool. Wait, I have the Stanley Parable?
What?
When did I get that?
When did you get the Stanley Parable?
I don't know. I think... did somebody... when?
Is there like a weird free weekend Stanley Parable thing? That wouldn't make sense at all.
I don't know. I have to... let me check. No. Not seeing that. When did that happen? Wow. Did I, like, miss a week?
Did you just, like, black out and buy a bunch of games you wanted?
I mean, I hope so, but...
I have Blood Dragon here, and I have...
also, I have no money in my bank account. I don't know what's happening.
I have a negative balance, but I have every game on Steam.
Can you have a negative balance?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you. Yes, I know from experience, yes, you can.
No.
Just only when I overdraw, like, my checking or something.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that could be a negative balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do not remember getting the Stanley Parable. Cool. I'm probably kind of like... I'm probably really insulting some friend who bought it for me for Christmas. Maybe it was my friend Matt. We'll say it was him.
I just text him. It's like, dude, did you...
No, yeah, I remember now. It was him, yep.
For sure?
Sure. Yeah. Anyway.
Excellent.
Sorry. Yeah, that's in there. But yeah, Sid Meier. Railroads. It's called Sid Meier's Railroads with an exclamation point. How great is that?
It's probably a very exciting game.
I'm sure. Railroads.
Railroads.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Also, Ace Patrol. I've heard about that. I've never played it, though.
No idea what that is.
Cool. What else have I been playing? I started Don't Starve a while ago, but we haven't talked since then, so I started Don't Starve.
What do you think of it?
It's real cool. I like it a lot. It's just kind of... it's a little bit hard to get into.
That's how I feel as well. I feel like there's a kind of a learning curve that you need to break through and just throw yourself at.
Definitely. I feel like you kind of have to... explore and experiment a lot, but if you do that too much, you will die.
Yeah.
So it definitely requires multiple playthroughs.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you die, you die for good, so obviously you have to just start over.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, though. I think I'm doing okay right now. It's just, like, you can be doing really well and, like, craft a bunch of new stuff that allows you to craft a bunch... craft, that's a word. Craft. A bunch of, like... different other further game stuff, but then also have, like, no food and then realize you're starving.
Yeah, you have to cover your bases with that game, like,
you would think, because it's the title of the game, you would remember that, but...
Well, no, I mean, you get so caught up in, it's like, oh, all this new shit, and I need to, like, get this to make a beekeeper helmet, and I want to have lightning.
Right, or and then you realize, wait a minute, where's the food? Food is, like, really hard to come by.
Yeah, it really it depends. It can be super scarce in some areas, and, like... It also makes it tough because, like, small stuff... And it's, like, it's balanced well, too, in terms of, like, the food that you get. Because usually, like, the meat that comes from animals is much harder to get than, like, the natural stuff, like the carrots and berries, which give you much less health.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I think that makes that game for me, though, is that there is a sense of progress after you die. Like, there is an experience bar that you fill.
Yeah.
As, like, it... Like, the better you do, the more experience you get, and you unlock new characters, which change up how you play. Mm-hmm. And if it didn't have that, I don't think I would play that game. Because I don't know, I need to feel more of a sense of reward, I guess, than just, it's like, oh, you lived for a lot of days, hey, good job, start over now.
That makes sense. I think I would probably still play it, but, yeah, that makes sense for them to have that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you've heard me go off on FTL. I have the same kind of feeling about that. I mean,
if FTL had something like that, I probably would still be playing that.
Right, yeah. Or if, because, I mean, there is kind of a sense of progress in, like, unlocking ships,
mm-hmm.
but you hardly ever do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't play that game anymore.
So sad.
Yeah.
Speaking of games that no one plays anymore, you played Hammer Fight.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Didn't you?
I
really want to hear about this.
I had to write a paper, and it's a bunch of bullet points, and it needs to be one of your least favorite games.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking through some stuff, and I'm like, man, I don't really own a lot of games that I, like, really just genuinely don't like. I mean, there are some I play for a moment, and I'm like, eh, this isn't for me, or this is just, like, garbage and not fun. Mm-hmm. I put it down, and that's that. But stuff like, I tried doing, like, Shank for a little bit. I'm like, this isn't awful. It's just kind of bland, but, you know, whatever. And what else? I feel like there was one other game. I wanted to do a Bittrip Runner for a little bit, because I know that I definitely didn't like that game for specific reasons. But I played it, and I'm like, with this new, like, programming perspective, like, sort of, it's weird how quickly it changes your views on games.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, this isn't really bad. Like, I'm kind of having fun with this. It's just not for me. And then I remembered Hammer Fight existed. So, for those who do not know, I think we have to have mentioned this before, but it probably was many, many podcasts ago.
Yeah.
The way that Hammer Fight works is that you are a ship, and you fight other ships, and you try and destroy them. The way in which you do this is that it's basically a flail ball and chain mechanic, where you use the, like, the, I don't know if it's centripetal or
one of those.
You use some physics to move your ship around and swing this ball and hit other ships. You do this using the mouse.
It's the worst thing ever.
It is a very sloppy, inconsistent mechanic.
Oh my God.
Even when you're not using the mouse, I plugged in a 360 controller and I used a joystick, and it helped. It really helped. It still didn't make the game better, though. It was still a very inconsistent experience. A lot of frustrating deaths that were not your fault. It's just strictly because of the controls.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, it's other stuff, too. Like, the AI is really not very good in that game, either. Like, when you get a couple levels in, like, that, and I think there were fights that happened off of my screen that I couldn't see when, like, enemy AI and ally AI were fighting.
Okay.
It's that, and I don't know if you remember this, but, like, in between every level, they, like, just throw, like, the history at you of, like, this fiction, and they use a lot of made-up words.
Mm, kinda.
Thinking that legitimizes a progression of a story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had a lot of problems with that, but I think I only lasted about an hour. And the thing is, there were a couple times where I'm like, I'm going to quit this month. Like, no, I should keep going. I know that there's like some systems I haven't gotten to yet.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 4 second tries, I had to exit the game.
Well, I applaud your endurance.
Thank you.
Because looking in Steam, I have played 13 minutes of Hammerfight.
That's exactly how much anyone should play of it to realize that it's not good.
Possibly too much.
And
it's just so bad.
Yeah, the thing is, too, like, there are people who genuinely like it, too. Like, this is not an
really?
All-across-the-board... Yeah, I mean, its Metacritic, like, user rating is, like, a 4.5 or something. However, within those scores, you see people giving it, like, 8s and 9s and 10s because somehow they have been able to enjoy this, like, core mechanic that is swinging your ship's chain ball at other ships.
No, those people are not okay.
No, right. And I guess the thing is, like, later on, you eventually unlock, like, a weapon system, and you can combine, like, certain different sorts of weapons, which sounds genuinely interesting, but I did not have the endurance to get to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't. If you want an experience, if you want to play a bad game.
It is an experience, yes.
It is an experience. So, yeah, I wrote a paper on that.
Mm.
And, tore to shreds at the end. Because the way it was actually set up was that you, like, you needed, like, there were some paragraphs where it's like, you need to pick the two best points of this game.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, the interface is good, and the art's good. That was...
However,
yeah, pretty much. Oh my god.
It's $10 on Steam, but there is a free demo. I'm gonna wager to guess that free demo is all you need to see. What we need.
Probably. It was an interesting exercise, though. It's always...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always important to... For someone in my position to play bad games as well, which is unfortunate because I realize I haven't played too many, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, that was my experience.
Good times.
Yeah, man.
That's Hammerfight.
That's...
Well, I'm sorry that you had to play it, but I'm glad it made for a good paper. That's actually really interesting.
Yeah. Anyways, though, anything else on your end?
Yeah. I picked up Four Swords when it was free on 3DS. That was awesome.
Right.
That was nice. So I played that a little bit. It's pretty fun. I might get back to it.
Yeah, I remember getting the GameCube version of that, but I don't think I really had too many other people to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of... fell flat for me.
Yeah.
At the time, anyways.
It would definitely be more fun with more people playing it.
Absolutely.
That kind of seems like the point, but when you're just playing it alone, you're like, well, okay, this is a game.
I feel like that game wasn't hyped up enough.
Yeah.
Because I remember it kind of just like falling by the wayside. It's like, oh, and by the way, multiplayer Zelda, which, like mm-hmm. that, on paper, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, that's really cool, but I think it was one of those things where Nintendo was like, well, this is an experiment. We're not going to put too much marketing behind it. Here you go.
Yeah, I think they probably should have made a bigger deal about it.
Yeah, probably.
It's an interesting idea. And
yeah, for sure.
Execution, you know, I mean, it was fun just by myself. So with more people, probably it's also fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting that they did that then with the new Super Mario's on the Wii and the Wii U and like actually really heavily marketed.
Yeah, well, I mean, well, Mario's their flagship.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sort of like, he's friendlier than Zelda to just the average gamer, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It makes more sense to make that multiplayer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Not that those were particularly fun while playing multiplayer. It's kind of frustrating games.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I don't really play Mario games anymore. I don't really have a reason to do that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to buy a Wii U?
I would actually love to buy a Wii U.
Yeah?
Because there are some fun things on there, but...
What would be, like, your number one game for Wii U that you would play?
Pikmin 3.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably Pikmin 3.
There is that.
Mm-hmm. There are, like, two or three other good games on there, too. or games that I would like have to want to buy. Anyways.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah, you should check and see if David and Sean downloaded that. I know David definitely downloaded that.
Yeah.
That sounds like that could be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
My last sort of chunk of games I played that I want to talk about are just a couple of like really good mobile games that I downloaded recently. All on Android. I recently got a Nexus 5, so I've been playing around with that a lot.
Awesome.
Really solid. Super good phone.
Sweet, yeah.
Not that I have any basis of comparison. I literally went from dumb phone to smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite a big leap, so... But I really dig the interface. I like it a lot.
Cool.
So the three games that I played a bunch, there's one called Hoplite, which is kind of like this hex-like based tile strategy game. It's free as well. Oh, and nice. You kind of... You are like this sort of warrior who has to like go and get this like golden fleece or something from like a... Like, you descend into like a couple levels of hell or underworld or whatever they call it. And you get a couple of these abilities and you have to kind of use those abilities to cleverly, like kill a bunch of enemies that are, randomly generated. The whole environment's randomly generated as well.
Mm.
And you kill those, you go to like an altar, you get upgrades for like specific abilities that you want. You get a couple different choices in terms of what you want to upgrade. And then you go down again and there's like 16 levels of it. And it gets really hard and it's really interesting and it's a good example of a game that has simple rules but is just it done like really well.
I think I've heard of this. I've never played it. I'll have to check it out though.
Yeah, it's a cool little strategy thing. Then there's... What else did I get? I got a... Do you remember ever seeing the Kickstarter for that game Buddy and Me?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
Like, the whole premise of it was... It's a runner. And, like, there's this big, like, fluffy yellow, like, cartoon, like, imaginary friend that this kid has. And so the whole thing is that you're going through this, like, really beautiful, like, forest scenery, and you're just... You're jumping and gliding and, like, collecting as many, like, stars or whatever as you can. Getting more time on your clock as you're running. And it's interesting only because, like, the gameplay itself, like, at its core, is not really, like, complicated or super interesting. Like, the most interesting thing you do is, like, you get, like, your star meter up and then you... Like, you hop on Buddy and you fly around, and, like, it's basically a mini bonus level where you fly and you get a bunch more stars and, or, like, extra time and, like, some power-ups and stuff. But it's really just a really casual runner. But the atmosphere and the music is super, super beautiful and, like, really nice and chill. And it's a really good balance between, like, just a simple game, but which also happens to, like, thrive on really pretty environments. So it's kind of just like a feel-good game, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. It looks really pretty.
Yeah, I think that one's only a buck.
It kind of reminds me of A Boy and His Blob. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's one I wish I had played.
Yeah, I think that was only on Wii.
Really?
I think so.
I thought it might have come on DS as well. I might be wrong.
Maybe.
I don't know. Well, one of those. Yeah, it's kind of sort of like that. In terms of tone, I think. Except I don't think there are actual enemies in this one. Oh, and the last one that I've been playing that's really, really clever is called Color Sheep. And it's actually made by some indie devs in Chicago, which is cool.
Oh, cool.
And the whole the premise of it is you play the sheep who has the ability to change the color of its wool. And you change the color of its wool, and then you fire lasers that are the same color as that wool.
Yes.
And you kill wolves that are coming at you that are of the same color.
Okay.
And so the way that it works is that you stand there just, like, static, and sometimes they drop power-ups that you can use to help you, like, kill more wolves, basically. But you go through these different individual rounds, and you've got a total of 5 buttons, I believe. And it's like red, green, and blue on your left side, and then dark and light on your right side. Mm-hmm. And so what you do is that you combine, like, different colors with different shades and stuff to kill the wolves. But as you go on, it keeps introducing new colors to you. So initially you're just going through levels. It's like, oh, okay, dark blue, like light red, dark green, whatever is fine. But then you start mixing colors. And then you start mixing colors as well as the light and darks of those colors. And it gets complicated really quick, but in a way that's really fun and challenging. It's a really well done, simple arcade game.
It sounds awesome.
It's really fun. It's a very simple, original premises. Premise.
I'm adding those to my wish list on Google Play.
Yeah, do that. Those are good.
Sweet.
Yeah, man. Okay, so...
good stuff.
You been playing anything else? Or we want to move on?
When we last saw each other, we played some co-op Spelunky. And that was a crazy good time.
Oh, my God. That was... I'm surprised how well that worked out.
I know. Yeah.
Because you wouldn't think that Spelunky, like co-op or Spelunky Deathmatch, would work super well.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, I think the Deathmatch was a lot more fun than the co-op.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Spelunky co-op is something that you do, like, maybe with one other person who's really good at Spelunky.
Mm-hmm.
But not, like, you know, 3 other people.
Yeah. Yeah, that just kind of got a little... hectic.
It gets a little out of hand, and I really think that Spelunky is a single player focused like skill experience, I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't lend itself super well to co-op, I guess. Especially with the whole one person controlling one screen thing, that can get a little. It's like tacking on another job. Like just it's another thing that you have to worry about when you're playing. But the deathmatch, oh man, does that work out.
So great.
Oh, it's so fucking fun. I highly recommend, if you just get a group of friends together and start messing around with that, even if they don't know how to play Spelunky, Jesus, it's... because, like, you got bombs flying everywhere, and you have enemies and spikes and stuff. You can still throw shit. You have all of the items from, like, in-game.
You die, and you turn into a ghost, and you can, like, blow people into spikes.
Yeah, and you can fuck with other people even though you're dead. Oh, that's sweet. It's a really, really good time.
Yeah.
It's a surprisingly good time. We should try to do that again.
Oh, yeah.
God, that was so fun.
Definitely. Oh, man.
Oh, unrelated. Dude, did you know that the Adventure Time video has like 2,200 views?
What?
Yeah.
No. What?
Yeah, man.
When is this?
Gradually over the last few months, I guess.
I don't even know how to react to that.
Yeah, I don't know either. It makes me want to maybe do more reviews since...
I guess people like
them. That got
like
so well-received.
Let me see this.
Yeah, it's nuts. Not to, like, toot our own horn or anything, but, like, that's pretty crazy.
2,273 views. This is amazing.
And that's like a 7-minute review video or something.
It's 9:47.
It's almost 10 minutes.
That's a long video.
It is. I'm super surprised that anyone cares.
10 comments.
Well, yeah. But hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Some people bringing up some truly,
wow.
Some good points. Like some guy like wrote 2 paragraphs on like his experience with the game and how it relates to like Zelda 2 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe we should consider shooting another one of those. I don't know what I want to review.
Mm-hmm.
But,
not Hammer Fight.
That will be a 2-minute review.
Yeah.
And I will...
I'm surprised you need 2 minutes.
I will tear it to shreds, even though it's made by some, like, super, super indie developers over in, like, Russia or Poland or something.
Yeah, I'm sure they're super cool. It just didn't work at all.
Yeah, and on paper, like, it's an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea for a mechanic. It's just not well-polished.
Yeah. But yeah, reviews, that's a thing we should do more of, absolutely.
It's something I'll consider, for sure.
Cool. Thank you, everybody, for watching, I guess.
Yeah, thanks, even though you're probably not listening to this thing.
Yeah, the thing we do the most of.
But thank you anyways.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, did not expect that.
Man. You want to talk news?
Yeah, take the horn, dude.
Horn. I have taken it. Okay, well, there's a thing I could really get into, but before I get into a thing, have you heard of Twitch Plays Pokemon?
No. Well, I read the headline of him. Just like, well, I don't know why this is good. That doesn't seem immediately good.
It's amazing. It's what just like, okay, so some dude set up a game of the original Pokemon, either Red or Blue, on an emulator, and then he set up this
system. Oh my god, I think I know where this is going.
That allows Twitch commenters to say, in the comments, you type up, down, left, right, A, B, start, or select, because those are
the
buttons.
Oh my fucking god.
And then the game does that.
Oh,
and
no.
It is the most incredible thing to watch. You can't watch it. You can't try to participate in it if you actually want to play the game or if you actually think anything is going to get done. It's just an incredible experience to watch.
I need to bookmark that immediately. This sounds so funny.
This is what I fell asleep watching last night, and I think it's going to be my TV from now on.
Dude, I feel that. That's how I was with the Awesome Games Done Quick thing for a while.
Yeah.
Which we didn't mention, but happened like a month and a half ago. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Long story short, if you've ever heard of Awesome Games Done Quick, AGDQ, they are the fucking best. They essentially what they do is that they get a bunch of speedrunners, and they do marathons of speedruns for like a week straight to raise money for cancer prevention. And they raised over $1 million that just goes to preventing cancer.
Wow.
Through that. So the way that works is that they like live stream it, and they just have people like throwing money in, and there's some incentives and stuff, and you could potentially get prizes. Most of the time you don't get anything, but you're just donating to like watching these amazing speedruns. I wish we had podcasted earlier, because I could like list off all the really good ones I saw, but
yeah.
I think if you want to like see what those are like, I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be throwing up like edited, like recorded versions of those eventually.
Sweet.
I don't know if those would be on the Twitch channel. I'm pretty sure they have a YouTube channel. Just scour AGDQ's site. I'm sure you'll find them eventually. There's some really awesome stuff on there, like a four-way Super Metroid race, blindfolded punch out and super punch out. Really cool stuff.
Sweet. That punch out sounds like it would be ridiculously hard, blindfolded.
He was able to get to Mike Tyson, I think.
Wow.
And died. Only because I think, I forget why, I think he's more of a visual cue kind of fighter.
Mm.
And that knee's like super hard. I think like one punch will knock you out or something like that. Oh, Twitch Plays Pokemon is like the first thing that pops up. So that's great.
Nice. It's incredible to watch. It's just, like the stream is a side-by-side of the game being played, like the emulated game. And then just a list of all the commands being put in and the usernames that are putting them in.
So is this still going on currently?
Yeah.
I don't think it...
If you look at the... Oh, I didn't link you the article. Here. Let me put it in the thing.
Oh, man. I don't know if it's live right now. No, it is live right now. Why
it
can't
is live
I go
right
to
now.
The thing? Go to the thing. Okay, I'm going to have it paused right now. Because that is what I'm going to watch today.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely. They've been going for, if I look at the stream, 3 days, 18 hours, 42 minutes, and 30 seconds.
Hold on. I just want to see how far they are. Let's see.
They have 3 badges.
Wow. Hey. Yeah. Go Twitch.
All right. How is that happening? They're just walking in a circle in some city right now. No, actually, they're kind of getting somewhere. They have a Pidgeot. This is insane.
Wow, really? Hey, good job, guys.
They're actually doing a lot better than I would assume a group of people inputting random commands would be.
Yeah, teamwork.
Good stuff.
Cool, that's actually... Well, everyone should check that out. That sounds hilarious.
Yeah, it's like hilarious to watch, but it's actually like a really interesting experiment into like... I don't know, not mob rule, but... I don't know.
Group interaction, I guess?
Yeah, or collective decision making.
But at the same time, they're not in person, so like,
yeah, they're not like
a little bit. It's more chaotic than that.
It's not collaboration. They're just, I don't know what this is.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. They're gonna use an HMO1. I have to stop watching. Okay.
Yeah. Let's
Jesus.
Go through our
it's
news.
Incredible though. Just Google Twitch Plays Pokemon and check it out because it's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, so amazing. And there are people like, I haven't seen it, but apparently it probably like when it just started, there were people like in the chat getting all angry about, no guys, we have to do this. Let's all like coordinate.
Oh geez.
That's never going to happen, dude.
Never.
Oh,
wishful thinking though.
Yeah. If you want to play Pokemon, don't watch Twitch Plays Pokemon.
That's it. all right, what else?
What else we got? You want to talk about Flappy Bird? Have you heard about this at all?
Yeah.
You know what's going
yeah.
on?
Yeah, I kind of have an idea of what's going on. I think everyone sort of has an idea, too.
Yeah.
It's a weird story. Like, it's a weird series of events.
It is. Because, I don't know. The dude didn't really give a valid reason for pulling the game.
I mean, it's, I heard it could have been a couple things.
I mean, there are a couple things that it would have made sense for it to be, but those weren't the reasons he gave.
Yeah, there's just, no, like, clear-cut, like, this is why I did this.
Yeah, he was like, well, I mean, he was like, the game was becoming an addiction for people, and I couldn't do that anymore.
That was actually a thing that he didn't like. He did not want people to get addicted to the game.
He was making, like, $50,000 a day on that thing.
Yeah, but from what I heard, I mean, well, firstly, the game's been out for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
This is not a new game. It was like one of the first games that he made, and he just made it for shits and giggles. Because I mean, that's what you do when you're starting to make games. You make some like shitty stuff. But I'm not sure why it blew up. Some people have a theory that like some people set up like bots to just play it all the time, which like drove it to the top of the like App Store. Or something, but that's not confirmed. It could have just like been a one guy played it and told his friend, and then so on and so forth, spiraled out of control. But it's been around for a while, and he's making a lot of money off of it from the ads and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just this Korean dude who's like kind of older, and so it could have been a situation where, like, the excess of money that he was getting was giving him, like, unwanted attention. Like, that just might be, like, some cultural thing. Maybe he did not want that specific sort of attention. And really, when you're pulling in, like, $50,000 a day, like, that's pretty excessive.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's good. Like, that's cool. But that's a lot.
Yeah.
I can sort of see, like, maybe unwanted attention from the people around him, as well as maybe the attention of the people playing the game and like doing dumb shit, like sending him death threats and like saying, "Oh, you owe me a new phone because I fucking smashed it playing Flappy Bird because I'm retarded."
Yeah.
But
I could see how being a game developer, you could just be like, throw some shit up and then it gets really popular and you're like, "No, wait."
Yeah, no, I mean,
thing.
I would feel that way, too, if I made something shitty and just got super popular. I'm like, this doesn't make sense, and I almost don't like this. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to be known for this.
No, yeah, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, then there was some speculation that, like, maybe Nintendo liked a cease and desist because, like, you know, the pipes that are in Flappy Bird are, like, straight. And even, like, the bird itself looks like a cheap, I guess, which is...
Yeah, I guess it could.
Which is kind of a stretch, but anyways, like... People were like, "Oh yeah, maybe it was like a Nintendo cease and desist," and like Nintendo said, "No, that wasn't us. We don't care. We don't give a shit, actually." So,
which is like a first for Nintendo,
right? Yeah. So very, very strange. Like 2-week story.
Yeah, just a weird series of events. And now phones that still have Flappy Bird installed on them are selling for, like, thousands of dollars on eBay.
Oh, my God, I know.
It's ridiculous.
Which doesn't make any sense, because I'm pretty sure you can find the source for that
somewhere
else. Oh, God.
You can... Someone absolutely is still hosting the APK, I'm sure.
Yes. Yeah, no, for sure they are. I heard that Terry Kavanaugh made a Flappy Bird game, which...
Going off of this, there's like a game jam that's going to be just based on Flappy Bird.
Fucking hell.
The point is, what did they say it was? Like, the quote that they used was like, the point is to create an incredibly frustrating game that's almost impossible to play, and like, feel free to appropriate art from other games.
I dig that. Good time. That's cool. There was a similar game jam that was more of a backlash to the King stuff,
where
their whole point of it was to like make games that would like that makes fun of like King's like attempts at trademarking, as well as in like sort of uses the thing that they trademarked.
Yeah, trying to trademark the word candy.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a weird time.
We totally do.
No, what was the thing they were trying to trademark? Was it candy or Saga?
They definitely trademarked Saga. I think they attempted to trademark candy.
Oh my god.
I think that's how that worked out. I'm
okay,
not sure.
Okay, what about their game qualifies as a Saga to them?
I don't... there is not much more logic that can be put into that other than they want money.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is at the absolute basis of why that's happening.
Didn't they ask the Banner Saga to change the name of their game?
Yep. Yeah, they did.
A game that, you know, depicts an actual saga.
Mm-hmm. And the way it was interesting. One of my teachers for my intro to game development explained sort of how this goes down. And the thing that happens is that if the trademark is like, if they look around and they see these under other games and it's like, oh, hey, like that sort of like you have Saga in your name, like you need to change that. So they send them a cease and desist where they could like change the name or like shut the game down. Talking King personally.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that ends up happening usually is that these indie devs could totally contest the thing. And the thing is, they would probably win in court. Because most of the time, the game is absolutely nothing like Candy Crush Saga.
Yeah.
However, more often than not, these indie devs do not have the money to do this.
Right.
So they have no choice but to either change their game or shut their shit down, which is horrible.
Yeah.
It's
a bullshit gaming of the system.
Yes.
Just so that no one else uses the word Saga? Like, how petty is that? What does that even get you?
And then we recently found out about this story. Did you read about the one, the dude, the Albert Ransom, I guess, Candy Swipe?
Yes, I think I did. Yeah.
The dude made the game in 2010, looks exactly like Candy Crush, made it a good 2 years before Candy Crush came out.
Yeah.
Is a very similar design, and he made it because his mom had died of leukemia, and she liked those kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
The man invested something incredibly personal in this and has been fighting King basically for the last 2 years and recently submitted a letter saying, you guys win. Like this is awful what you're doing. And like, I really hope you feel good about what you did because I really put something into this game.
Yeah.
That you might have definitely stolen from me.
That's unbelievable.
And are now trying to shut other people down who have even, like, a hair's different, who have Saga in the name.
Yeah, like, what's the point?
This is not game development. This is not, like...
No.
This is the absolute, this is the dark side of, like, it's game capitalism.
Yeah.
It's the kind of, oh my god.
This is what happens when gaming goes corporate.
Yeah, and, like, you know what? I understand. There's probably a lot of people who work at King. There are a lot of people who work at King who internally do not agree with this, like,
sure,
in any way, shape, or form. But the higher-ups who have decided that this is what they want to do, they're a fucking cancer to the industry.
Yeah, that's it. That's fair.
They destroy creativity and development, and it's... I mean, I'm, like, these feelings aren't, like, not just my own feelings. A lot of people are upset about this, but this is... That's what's happening, and
yeah,
it's super discouraging.
Mm-hmm. It's happening a lot, and like, even though it gets put into the news a lot and we hear about those stories, it doesn't go away because like, there's not a whole lot that people can do about it.
Right. There's...
I don't know that there's any action that we could personally take that would have any effect because they're not politicians, so they aren't beholden to us in any way.
Right. Yeah. They're playing by the rules of trademark stuff.
Right.
And it's,
so the only thing we can really do is try to change copyright law and trademark law in some way.
Or like, you know, I guess boycott like Candy Crush. But the people mm-hmm. there's no point in doing that though, because you can't explain this to anyone who is playing Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Like this big issue, they don't care. And the people mm-hmm. who do care are already not playing Candy Crush.
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know what's going to happen from all this.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
A similar thing happened with Mojang, the people who make Minecraft, with their game Scrolls.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
With the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah,
What happened? Did they settle?
Yeah, they settled civilly, I'm pretty sure. Like,
Scrolls definitely exists.
Yeah, it was between them and, Bethesda is the one who makes, Oblivion and, Skyrim and all those. I'm pretty sure they settled out of court, like, civilly. Which is nice.
Yeah.
At least so I think. I don't know, that was a couple months ago. Scrolls... It's been out for a little bit, I think.
Yeah. That happened, I want to say, 2 years ago. Or maybe, it last year?
I don't know. 2 years ago sounds about right. I remember that happening early on.
It was because it was going on during a MineCon.
Oh.
I know that. I think it might have been the first MineCon. So that would have been 2012, right?
I think was the first one held in, like, Vegas or something? My brother was keeping up with that for a while, like, when he was, like, super into Minecraft.
Yeah.
But Minecraft would be really cool to go to.
Probably, I'm sure. A lot of cool art and stuff.
All right. What's this Watch Dogs trademark thing? What's up with that?
Okay, so it's so weird.
Got a lot of trademark talk going on in this podcast.
I know.
Coming back swinging.
So this one is different. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, or the USPTO, as it's known.
The headquarters?
Yes.
Sorry.
That's what it is, right?
USPTO? The trademark castle.
Right, the trademark castle. They received a request from Ubisoft to abandon the trademark Watch Dogs. And so this caused a lot of media people to be like, so, hey, what's going on with Watch Dogs? Is it going to be made? And everybody was really curious. And then a few weeks later, Ubisoft was like, wait, we didn't do that.
What?
That wasn't us. I know the person who did that said they were us, but they weren't us. And we definitely still want Watch Dogs. Can we please have Watch Dogs?
Oh, that is really bizarre.
Yeah. So they got it back, because apparently it was a fraudulent request to abandon Watch Dogs.
That, wow.
Super weird. So,
that
like, that
really
brings into question, like, how easy is it to convince the USPTO that you are from a company that holds a trademark?
Yeah, right, or did they suspect that it was someone internal, or just some random...
I don't know.
Hmm.
Or maybe, yeah, was it somebody internally trying to, I don't know, maybe there was a miscommunication, or maybe they were doing it maliciously, or maybe it was just some internet troll trying to create a media frenzy, or maybe it was somebody from another company trying to, you know, trick a giant company into giving up the trademark to what could probably be a very successful AAA game.
That would be so weird if that actually worked.
Yeah, I know.
If you just, like, Ocean's 11'd away someone's, like, name for a game. Nope, this is Watch Dogs now. You are Worms, and it's a platformer.
Yes. But why is it called Watch Dogs? You know what? You're going to have to play the game.
Because I want money. What do you think?
Yes. That's just the trademark for the game. What do you call it? Tagline. Watch Dogs. Give us your money.
you watch dogs. You do not hear about that every day.
No, I don't know that I've ever heard about that.
But everything's cleared up now? Like it's.
Yeah. Watch Dogs is theirs again, and the game is definitely still happening.
Hmm.
So weird.
Okay.
So weird.
I kind of like the headline for this next one. You're saying that Sega won't let Sonic die.
So there hasn't been a good Sonic game in what?
I heard Generations was good. I haven't played it. I don't play Sonic games, so I heard Generations is alright.
I don't know. I played the 3DS demo.
Oh.
And it was not fun.
Hmm.
I think the last time I had fun with Sonic was Sonic Adventure 2 on the Dreamcast. I don't know if you ever played that.
I think I know of it.
It was a good time. But yeah, before that would have been Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And, God, okay, so, rather than just be like, yeah, you know what, we haven't made a good Sonic game in years, let's just quietly put this little guy to bed. They gotta keep milking him, because, hey, Nintendo won't give up on Mario, so why should we give up on Sonic?
Because you don't make money off of him.
And they are handing him over to a Western studio
okay.
to make a new game called Sonic Boom.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Sonic
yeah,
Boom,
I've heard
it's
about
called.
That.
It's called Sonic Boom.
I mean, you know what? If as long as you make a game whose premise is better than, hey, Sonic turns into a werewolf at night sometimes. I
oh
think
my
you
god.
Can... Do you remember that
I
shit?
Remember that.
There was a, wasn't there another one where it was like with Shadow and it was edgy because he had guns?
Yeah, oh man.
Oh
Shadow with guns.
I feel like I should play these just to see, like just to experience.
Amazing. But so what's so weird about this new game is they like kind of redesigned him and the other characters and they look weird.
Mm. Doesn't he have like longer limbs or some shit?
Yeah, which is crazy. And Knuckles is clearly on steroids.
Oh, good. That's what you need sometimes.
You know, they look basically the same, just a little... They just look more Western.
Mm.
It's just weird.
Well, I mean, handing over the name of this could be... I mean, if Sega hasn't done a good job, maybe mm-hmm. someone else could. I mean...
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I don't really blame them for just, like trying to do this thing. It's like, well, we really haven't produced any results. Here, you see what you can do.
They also want to make a TV show along with this.
That's fine.
Yeah.
There was a Sonic cartoon once upon a time.
It was called... Well, there were many, but the one you may be talking about was called Sonic X.
Perhaps.
And I thought it was pretty great. I watched it when I was a kid.
Do you remember the Kirby cartoon?
Yes.
Or was that CG?
No, that was CG.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that.
That was wicked.
It was weird.
Wasn't it like the tagline is like Kirby coming right back at you or something?
Yes. Oh my god, yeah.
Oh wow.
So
I think
weird.
I think it was on like that was a Saturday morning like Fox Kids thing.
That was I know more about this than it's weird that I know what I know about this.
No,
okay.
go on.
It was part of a Saturday morning Fox thing called the Fox Box, and this was after they had murdered Fox Kids. Which my sister and I were very upset about because that's where we watched Digimon.
I remember Digimon being right along with that, too.
We were really heavy into Digimon, and we were super upset when Fox Kids was going away.
Yeah, man, I've seen your VHS as a Digimon.
Oh, yeah.
Not like you went in and bought like a copy of the Digimon like show, like recorded VHSs. Yeah.
Part of that may have been my sister's OCD, but...
Hey, man. You have them, though, now. That's awesome.
We do. For free.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, telecoms. but, yeah, so we were really into that. And then when we heard the Fox Box was coming, we're like, oh, man, let's watch the schedule and see if the new Digimon's going to be there. No. We get all these shitty Japanese shows. Like Ultraman. What the hell was that?
That sounds too generic for me to even remember.
It was just giant Power Rangers.
Oh.
It was so stupid.
Mm.
I didn't watch
it. It's a show that still happens. Power Rangers still happens.
There's still Power Rangers?
I'm
like new Power Rangers?
I'm pretty sure.
That's amazing.
I don't know if they're thrown on TV that much over here, but I know that they exist.
Wow.
God.
So that's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck, Sonic.
Yeah. whatever. Have you ever heard of Sonic Underground? That was another cartoon they had.
I don't know.
It was with Sonic and his siblings, two like non-canon characters who were his brother and sister.
Let me see if I can.
They played in a band.
Oh,
like, that
yeah.
That was their power, was they had instruments.
It was
so stupid.
I didn't hate that show. I remember that I did not
I watched it
that
every
show.
Morning. It was so stupid.
It was on for a year. It was on for 1 year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It was weirdest thing.
Yeah, so Google search just starts popping up all these old cartoons like the Super Mario Super Show, Super Mario Brothers Super Show and stuff.
I didn't have the privilege of watching that as a kid. I was too young.
I didn't either, but I think you can find someone. I think Hulu at one point had both that as well as the. I think I mentioned the Zelda animated show,
yeah.
Which is so bad. It's so funny. Oh my god.
I probably have to see that at some point.
Yeah, David's got a DVD or two of like a couple episodes.
Oh god. I see the DVDs for the Super Mario Brothers Super Show at Half Price Books, I think.
Nice.
No, I just saw it at Target, actually.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. So weird.
That's interesting.
Didn't the guy who played Luigi, he died in 2013, right?
Maybe.
I think he did.
That sounds about right.
Which is sad, because it was the year of Luigi.
It was, yes. It was right around the time the year Luigi was supposed to stop. And then Nintendo was like, nope, 2014 is also the year of Luigi. And everyone's like, oh, all right, cool.
Yeah, why not? Okay. 2 years of Luigi.
Every year is the year of Luigi.
Oh, Nintendo. So weird.
Yeah.
Anyways,
what new stuff do you have to talk about with Steam machines? Because I know we bring that up every once in a while.
Did we talk about CES at all? What happened at CES?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Probably not.
Yeah, I can get into that.
Yeah.
So at CES, Valve actually had, like a press conference, which just consisted of Gabe Newell walking out and talking for like 7 minutes, and then he was like, and then here's these Steam machines, and there were just like tables full of Steam machines from all their various partners, and the differences between each hardware manufacturer's take on Steam machines are staggering.
Yeah they are, in terms of look and pricing and hardware.
Yeah, they are all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
There are some that just like, there are some that look like consoles and that look really good, like this could go up against the Xbox, and yeah,
right.
That makes sense. And there are some that just kind of look like giant PCs. Like, why don't I just build a PC? Because, like,
yeah, it's
isn't the point of Steam machines to, like, give a gaming PC to people who maybe aren't adept enough to build a gaming PC? Or who don't want to undertake the financial burden of building a gaming PC?
I mean, that is one angle of it. I mean, they also want to try and, like, take over the living room in terms of, like, introducing, like, sort of forcing PC gaming into
your big screen. Yeah. I just don't think a $1,400 giant box is the way to do that.
Oh, dude, that's, like, on the low end, or the medium range end of some of those things. I saw, like, a couple grand for some of these Steam boxes, which,
mm-hmm.
that, as a consumer, that leaves me, like, incredibly skeptical. I'm hoping that this is just these strange, like, preliminary experimental stages where Valve's just sitting there, like, collecting, like, market data and seeing what works when and where and how, and eventually taking all of that and being like, okay, this is, like, our game plan, this is what we as a company like Valve should release for our take on, like, the Steam machines thing. Like, we take, like, maybe they release three different models at three different price ranges and stuff, and they do a sort of, like, swapping out, like, a widget, like, like, hardware, like, swap out thing, or mm-hmm. some sort of, like, subscription system to do that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, but, like, right now, it's, I think as consumers, it's kind of unknown as to where this is going to go.
Mm-hmm.
for us at least.
Yeah, it's still in a very early place. And it's, yeah, it probably won't be available to consumers for a while. But they have their, like, home, they have their, like, you could sign up to be sent a Steambox from them. I keep calling it Steambox, Steam Machine.
Whatever.
It's just because Steambox sounds better.
It does.
But yeah, so I think they've released their take on what a Steambox looks like. I said it again.
Valve has, for sure.
I think maybe, because they have already sent it to people, right? Yeah. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and they're like, theirs looks like a console. It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one from, like, iBuyPower, I think, or somebody that made sense. And then there were others that were just ridiculous.
Yeah. Because even, like, the people I've talked about, like, their, like, comments on this is, like, I really don't understand this, because what's keeping you from just spending that money on a PC that is in your living room? Like, and, again, maybe, hopefully, Valve knows something that consumers do not, which seems to be the case most of the time.
I made a video about this.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, talking about kind of how it is maybe sort of a genius idea for Valve to do this. Because, like, the PC market is so terrible, and, like, what PC manufacturers are left aren't really, like, making desktops still, and the desktops they are making are, like, all-in-ones, and they're not great. So it's just, like, otherwise it's just sort of a race to who can make the cheapest laptop. And the rest are just, like, defecting to Chromebooks.
Yeah, so, yeah. Like,
and it's in their best interests to have a robust and healthy sort of gaming PC marketplace. So I think they're just trying to create that. And, like, but it's smart for them because all the risk for creating these new products is on their hardware partners. And they're just sharing the software, the operating system with them for free. So
when you put it in that light, that is really smart.
Yeah, it makes sense for Valve.
Yeah, right now they're, like, financial like, obviously there's, like, some severe financial investment in this, but it's not, it's not up there. They're not throwing, like, significant amounts of money at this in terms of, like, a production cost and all those other things.
Yeah. And I don't think Steam is under any sort of threat from the market at this point, but I think they recognize that maybe it could be.
Yeah, no, I mean, changing in, like, sort of, I guess, taking steps to making sure that you are still on top is always smart.
Yeah. And this sort of, this strategy of trying to casually be in the living room kind of makes sense for, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So another thing kind of relating to Steam, have you heard any news about the Steam tags thing?
Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that.
So that didn't go quite as well as they thought it would, I don't think. I know. I've heard so many bad ones for games that just, it doesn't make sense.
God.
I think there was one, Gone Home was tagged with Not a Game.
Yeah.
Super Brothers Swords and Sorcery was tagged with Hipster Garbage.
Yeah.
Indie Game the Movie was tagged with Philfish Sucks.
Of course.
I heard there was another game that was tagged with, like, it was some indie developer who, and they were, like, totally okay with this. It was, like, puke or vomit inside of your children or something.
Oh, my God.
There's another one that was, like, Jews did WTC. So that's awful. So I think they're starting to regulate, like, Valve's starting to regulate this a little bit more. But,
yeah, they're trying to fix it.
They severely overestimated the maturity of their audience, I think.
Definitely. Oh, man. Like, why would you just release a system that allows people to tag anything with anything and not go, oh, wait, there are YouTube comments?
Right, and I think, like, the problem was that their initial thing was there was a Q&A for developers, and it's like, so as a developer, like, what if my game is tagged with something that is, like, blatantly, like, not okay, or like not in the game. It's like, and the answer was like, it's like, this may be an indicator that maybe there was a miscommunication between what the gamers thought your game was and what you actually provided. It's like, there's no actual like oh, like, I can't just take this down, like, oh Jesus,
no, you don't get it. What he's saying is,
so I think that was just a weird kind of misstep for them, nothing severe. But maybe there's a little lack of forethought with that.
Yeah.
God. Anyways.
Not to go off topic, but I'm looking at the new character models for the Sonic characters.
Yeah.
Dr. Robotnik doesn't have any pupils.
I have to see that. I need to check that out. So fascinating on a podcast, by the way. Hope you can all see this.
Yeah, if the brain link that we inserted into all of you is,
it doesn't have any people. Wait, he's got his glasses though, is what I'm seeing. Why does he not have any pupils? What do you mean?
What do you mean? What do I mean? Where are you looking at?
I don't know. Send me the thing.
I did.
But oh,
it's on the page.
On the oh.
For those listening at home,
yeah, right.
Just imagine anything you want. You know what? It's your life.
Oh, creepy!
Isn't that weird?
Those don't look like eyes.
No,
those look like lasers. Maybe those
are. I don't think he's okay.
Maybe those
no, wait.
Glasses?
Yeah, if you click the enlarge it, those are glasses. Sorry, okay. Everybody. They're all right. Sunglasses.
Oh, man.
You can see it on the bridge of his nose. It's just hidden by his giant freaking eye lobes. I don't know what those are.
Such a journalistic misstep on your part, sir.
God, I'm so ashamed.
Last bit of news. Is this news? How old is that? How is the offline mode thing? Or is
that's from January 13th. That's from a month ago.
Oh, all right. So in the span of time where we were hating on EA for a while,
I just figured we should mention it because we talked about it so much.
Okay. Bring it back.
Yeah.
EA's adding an offline mode to SimCity, something that was previously impossible, according to them.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Enough said, I guess.
Yeah. Whatever, guys. You screwed up. It was supposed to be such a great game, too.
Yeah, the SimCity series is... It's got some weight to it.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
So that'll be there then.
Man, it's a bit of a long one today.
At last we can die. Oh man.
Oh god, I feel like garbage. I don't think I actually mentioned this when we were recording at all. I was out last night helping celebrate a friend's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
At a couple bars. By a couple, I mean two. Because what happened was we went from this initial place. It was like actually a really nice, like, Irish, sit down grill pub thing, with a hell of a Reuben sandwich. Oh my God. Anyways. So we go from there though to a, this like really overly packed, gay bar. And, it was a good time. It was just too many people in there and the music was way too loud and it was whatever. But, I guess there were a couple of shots thrown, her way. A little bit too much in the night because she literally had to get picked up and carried by three or four people into the back of our friend's car.
God.
So she won the night.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, the night just kind of stopped after that. It's very abrupt. Yeah. I slept over at Sean's in the city. I didn't end up getting there till like maybe 2:45 or something.
Mm.
And then took a train so I get back here so I could do this podcast.
All right.
You're welcome, listeners.
We thank you.
But yeah, that's why I feel like garbage. I didn't actually get that drunk, but I stayed up late and had a lot of sugary alcoholic drinks.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Last night I went to a game night hosted by some people that me and my sister know from NaNoWriMo.
What's that?
National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, that thing.
That thing in November that we do.
Yeah.
With the writing.
Right.
Yeah, it's a good group of people. We like them.
How'd that go? What'd you guys play?
We played, when we got there, they were playing some game that was, some card game that was related to Alice in Wonderland with colors that I didn't understand.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. But then when that ended, what did we play first? I don't remember the order, but we played some Dixit, which was, it's pretty cool. We played, what's it called? Balderdash.
That sounds familiar.
It's the game where there's a word, and everybody has to make up a definition for it, and then everybody votes on what they think the correct definition is.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think I've heard that premise before. I don't know if I've actually played that.
It's a good time.
That sounds fun, though.
Especially with a word like twibble.
Whoa, twibble.
Yeah. I don't remember what it meant now.
Obviously, that's the point in which your hoodie string meets the actual, like, the hood.
Oh. That's actually a good one.
I would love to play that.
Yeah. I think my sister's made-up definition for that was the ceremonial spoon used in a marriage ceremony.
Yeah. That's good.
That was good. We played Ticket to Ride, too, which was a lot of fun.
I do not know what that game's about at all. I always hear it, though. It's, like, as popular as Catan, basically.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I was going to say it's like Catan, but it's not really at all. you are building, railroads across, America. Or there's a European version, too, which is apparently a lot harder. But we played the America version, and it was a lot of fun. You have to, like... You get route cards that are like routes from city to city that you have to complete by the end of the game. Mm-hmm. If you do, you get those points, and if you don't, those points are subtracted from your score. It's cool.
Nice, man. Yeah. Invite me sometime. I would love to, if that is cool, I would love to learn a couple new board games.
Totally.
Once again, the more I experience now, the better.
Yes.
Which is super strange. That's, like, one of the first, like, things that they tell you in, like, for, like, game development and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, just try and experience as many things as you can, because you can literally make a game about anything.
Yeah. That's really good, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So, I think we've been doing this for 80 minutes?
Something like that.
Close to that. Mm. Time to wrap this shut up. So, you were talking about your YouTube channel. Yes.
Wrapping it up.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, shame on you.
I'm so sorry.
You got a YouTube channel, man?
I do.
Tell me about it.
That's over at youtube.com/vlogginegan. Trying to be weekly. Help me.
Help me help you. Help me help you. What's your most recent video?
Net neutrality.
Ah, yeah. Made
videos about that. A couple. Because that's in trouble.
Very important thing.
Yeah. Might be some progress on it, so that's good. Tangent. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's see. I am on Twitter. I should change my... there was a thing I did before where I changed my Twitter to private, I think. Mm-hmm. And I should not do that anymore, because you know what? I don't need to look for a job anytime soon.
Yeah.
In terms of...
That's true.
Serious grown-up jobs. So, hit me on Twitter. @ZachBruin.
Do it.
Yeah. I sometimes make vines. I'm super into watching vines now. I need to make a couple more, because those are good creative exercises.
Yeah.
What else do we got? There is the actual blog that this will be posted up on.
Yeah. That's firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also have a Tumblr. We also have a Twitter. The Twitter handle is at FPBSim.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an email, FPBSim@gmail.com. If you have... Oh, I'm so rusty.
It's been months.
Man.
It's been over a month.
If you have any questions, concerns, death threats, recipes, ghost stories that you want to send us...
Recipe ghost recipe stories.
Ghost recipe. I made a program about making a ghost.
Did it make you a cake?
In C++. No, I just said it made you a ghost.
Did the ghost make you a cake?
No, it's just your friend. I mean, I guess you could...
If he were a real friend, he would make
I guess there's a line where you could insert make cakes,
yes.
And it would throw it into the story. That I'll send you that. It's so stupid.
I'm very interested in that. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it was so fun to program. It's so small and dumb. Anyways, send your ghost recipes to fpbsim@gmail.com. If you send questions, we will answer them. Do that, please, because we love... We actually have never gotten any
We have never before. Had... A question sent to us.
Either do that or any other way you want. You can throw those at the Twitter,
mm-hmm.
do asks in the Tumblr if you want. Literally, any way that you can That's throw cool. questions at us, we will answer your questions. We would love to. Is there anything else? We have a YouTube channel as well.
Oh, yeah. I get that. I guess people know about.
Yeah. 2,200 people give a shit about because of the Adventure Time review video.
That's also FPB Sim. Yes. All of the social media stuff is just @FPBSim, probably.
Some derivation of the name. Just take out letters.
Yes.
We'll see if we can maybe do another... we'll see how busy we are. We should probably do another review. We should definitely hang out and actually do some more videos now that I'm living back in Lockport.
Yeah.
We should definitely do that soon. Yeah. Anyways, you got anything else?
I think that's it. It's good to be back.
Okay. It is fantastic to be back, and we'll try and start doing these weekly again. Mm-hmm. We'll see how our schedules line up. I know that we're both super busy, but hey, this is awesome, and I like talking about this shit.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys.
Hopefully you like listening.
That would be nice if you... Yeah.
It's really just about us.
Shutting it down. Goodbye, people.
Bye. Enjoy living. I don't know.
Good one.